Coming up on TMS, Brian sings about the bad times and the good times.
Explosive tip is another thing you can say to people.
High fives might be the official greeting in Missouri.
Rob Ford really likes that Bieber kid.
Sugar is killing us.
What is Scott Bakula up to now?
Oh, boy.
No, what does he say?
Yeah, that's it. Oh, boy.
I got it. Fitness geek.
Jury duty.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hey, young America. We need to talk. You may think this is uncool. You may even think it is bogus. But I want to tell you about something that has everyone buzzing. Something that concerns mature boys and girls just like you. Something called grass. Not that grass. I'm talking about marijuana.
The Purell was flying all over the place.
The soundtrack to your facial Kegel exercises. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello and good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short, for Tuesday, February 14th. No, February 4th. Let's not just throw half the month away.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I know February's short.
You just freaked out a lot of unprepared.
They're like, am I that behind on the show? Yeah,
exactly.
What have I done? It's me, it's Scott Johnson, it's him, it's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. You're operating with a cold.
But like I said, I think this is the worst it's going to be right here. I think this is a minor cold compared to some of the crap I've had to deal with earlier this year. Holy Mary, or last year.
Yeah. Bad year for you.
It has been, so or it far. Was.
Or it was, wait, 20, yeah. yes, 2013.
Oh, no, because it was when I came back from Vegas that I had the...
Oh, yeah, the beginning of the year.
The garbage flu, which was the very beginning of the year, yeah.
Yeah, neither of us have enjoyed the best of health this year so far. Let's hope we're getting it all out of our way, mm-hmm. so that for the rest of the year, we are spry, handsome men about town.
Exactly, well, yes.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining us. We like Tuesdays, and we like you, and we like talking about stuff, and we like doing shows. We got jury duty later. We got chin beard later. Before all that, I got some stuff to tell you, and all of this stuff I'm about to tell you is brought to you by...
By Umgardi. Our top priority is providing quality service while still providing affordability. Web hosting from $4 Canadian per month and virtual servers from $10 Canadian per month. Visit umgardi.ca for more details. That's UMGARDI.ca.
Very nice. How much is a regular dollar versus a Canadian dollar?
I think a Canadian dollar is worth 64 American dollars currently.
Let's take a look.
And,
right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Tim Horton donut and a bowl of poutine.
Of course.
Poutine.
Canadian dollar one is to a U.S. dollar 90 cents currently. So
yeah,
not too bad.
It's pretty close. Yeah, they're.
Now, if you do, let's do a euro. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm doing this. Euro versus the dollar. To U.S. dollar.
I want to say it's $1.50. Or I'm sorry, it's a 2-to-1 kind of thing. Or not 2-to-1, but like, what am I trying to say here? Like a euro is about 75.
Oh, it's actually not too bad right now. It's not double. See, euro currently 1 euro to every $1.35.
Oh, $1.35. Okay.
That's not bad. That's better than it's been.
Oh, I guess that's what I meant. $1.50. Yeah, I was flipping it around.
If you look at 2010 through now, it's starting to level off. It was real up and down there for a while. I don't know. Welcome to the Financial Times, everybody. We're here for the new Frog Pants show.
Now that's the now. Rupees.
Drobo. All right. It's good to be back, and we're happy to be here, and I have some stuff to tell you. First of all, let's get this out of the way. I feel a little guilty about it because, A, really? You've got a cold. B, oh, okay. I never feel good about enforcing my bets. I always feel guilty about it.
You're like, oh, all right, you don't have to pay me. It's okay.
I totally get that way with everybody.
No. We made a wager. We put a wager on the Super Bowl, and the Broncos came up short.
Yeah.
Very short.
So what I'm going to do is I'm gonna put silence in the booth here. I'm going to play a little bit of the song, the real song that Brian is going to sing.
Just to get me started a little bit, right?
Yeah, to lube you up a little bit.
Okay.
All right? All right. So here you go. See if you recognize it, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Got a lot of history here. Let's hear the first line so you get a taste for the lyrics. Okay.
If the days are by you, I will tell you what it means to be a man.
Okay, I like Led Zeppelin a lot, and I think that is possibly my favorite song they ever made.
It's a great song.
Good Times, Bad Times. That was the studio version. Now let's hear the Arvada Booth version. Brian Ibbett is going to sing.
But I don't even get a backing track.
You get no backing track. You get no background noise. You get you get nothing. But here, I'll give you this one.
He sleeps in the raw.
And that's all you're going to get.
All right,
sleeps in the raw. And I'm going to count it down, and then you're just going to go for it. You ready for this?
All right, ready.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Ibbett in 3, 2, 1.
In the days of my youth, I was told what it means to be a man. Now I've reached that age, I've tried to do all those things the best I can. No matter how I try, I find my way into the same old jam. Good times, bad times, you know I had my share. When a woman left home for a brown-eyed man, and I still don't seem to care.
You did it. You nailed it.
And you know, you were pretty easy on me. Just to let you know, I would not have picked a good song like this.
What would you have done? What were you going to do to me?
You were either going to get We Built This City on Rock and Roll, or I would have probably leaned more towards I Got My Mind Set on You by
That would have been a really terrible idea. I knew. See, it's a good song, yes, but it's also kind of a, you know, it's a weird one to just drop and sing. To just straight up a cappella that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was what I was thinking.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have a backing track when you said it was going to be just right flat out in the, with the sound, nothing but the sounds of my own tears to accompany me.
Yeah. to lubricate your oily pipes. What? I don't know what that means. Good job, Brian. The debt is paid.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You owe me nothing. This is, it's clear and the future is ahead of us. Nothing can stop us now.
Excellent.
We built this city. All right.
Now, if you wouldn't mind doing about 50 push-ups for me in the second half of the show, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it. I think that's the part you don't have to do. See,
we'll see.
I'd feel
we'll
really see. Guilty making you, with a cold, do 50 push-ups when your team so horribly let you down.
Oh, my God. It was almost a 50-point loss, too. I mean, it was almost a point per push-up.
Yeah,
that's almost what we should have said is one deep fried Twinkie for every 10 points and one push up for every point, whichever way it went.
Yeah. And then one way or the other, you're going to have a real bad day.
Yes, exactly.
All right. I got another. You know, I've got this habit of going places and somebody yelling something at me.
Right. Like fart gas.
Fart gas. Yeah. Fart gas has been a popular one. And people are still emailing and tweeting in with their reason or why what they think that guy said. We have an email that addresses that later. We'll get to that later
in
the
really?
Show.
Wow. Okay.
Very good theory.
People are analyzing it like it's the Zapruder tape.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Breaking it down. Well, it was on a Thursday, so he might have actually been saying parks and recreation, but it sounded like fart gas.
Exactly. Fart gas. To the back and to the left and the back. How'd that go? To the back and the left. How'd that go in JFK?
Oh, yeah. It was back and to the left.
Back and to
back
the left.
Back and to the left.
Yeah, that was great.
The magic bullet.
I want to watch that movie. So yesterday, I'm at the Walmart.
Okay.
Doing the things you do at the Walmart.
Don't know why you keep going there, but all right.
Don't either. Kind of a rough piece of business, but I was there. Yeah. I had to get something. And I'm leaving the Walmart. Mm-hmm. I'm in the parking lot looking for my car. I have a nondescript Ford Fiesta.
That sounds like a descript.
Well, it's pretty, yeah, I guess I just described it.
It sounds like you just gave descript.
Yeah. And a lady about 3 parking strips over, what do you call that? Parking stalls or whatever.
Spaces.
You know, maybe. It's not in the same line of cars as me. It's 2.
Oh, rows?
Rows, yes. 2 parking rows beyond me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting into my car facing her. So my door is open and I'm looking toward her direction. And as I start to step into my car, she gets out of an SUV and yells at me with her hands cupped at her mouth. Explosive tip. Explosive tip, she says. And I go, what? And she gets in her car and drives away. She didn't repeat it. She said explosive tip twice,
really?
Yelling at me, but then wouldn't say it again when I said, excuse me? And she just drove off.
and it was clear enough that you could tell it was explosive tip.
I am nearly 100% positive, but then again, I was that sure of fart gas too. So
does she know that you play a hunter in World of Warcraft?
No,
like, is that one of the arrow options for?
It's explosive. Well, there's explosive trap, and then there's explosive shot.
Maybe it was explosive trap she was saying.
Maybe.
She was like, GURP, get out of the fire!
Get out of the fire, explosive trap! We need some CC in here.
Turn your pet off, growl!
All of these things, I mean, I have to, I run the gamut in my head of what could she mean by explosive tip. Now, that's like a bullet, right? Like a bullet might have an explosive tip?
Or sometimes a bullet, but I was thinking more like an arrow.
Oh.
Or, you know, like an explosive tip.
What if you give the waiter a grenade? Is that an explosive tip?
Well, that could be, yes. Yeah, very good.
Not bad. So, again, I put it to the audience.
It's the new brand of Trojans, explosive tip.
It's a bad. Don't buy those. Those are bad ideas.
Yeah, crossbow bolts.
Chat room's got ideas. So
it's ammo for the crossbone Call of Duty Black Ops. Well, there you go.
Perfect. Now, those in the chat room and those at home, your job now, while you're still mulling over fart gas, is figure out why a lady would yell explosive tip at me in a parking lot. Because I really don't get it. And why am I such subject to these things? Why is it I always have to run into this? It's not like you're at the bank and somebody turns around and goes, frying pan, for no reason.
Right. Well, okay. So here's my thinking. You're at a Walmart. I'm going to kind of set the scene here.
Set me up. I'm good.
Yeah. So you were at a Walmart. That does happen to sell ammunition, like crossbow bolts and arrows and things like that.
I know we're playing this, by the way.
Imagine.
Okay, go ahead.
And the person she was actually yelling at was somebody behind you.
Someone beyond me? Okay.
Someone beyond you who was going to the store and basically looking at her like shrugging his shoulders like, which bolts do I need to buy? Which crossbow bolts should I pick up?
I love this theory.
Shrugging his shoulders. And
explosive tip. Oh, those ones. Okay.
Okay.
Do you think Walmart carries explosive tip arrows for... I don't think they do.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Probably not, actually, because I think that's labeled an incendiary device, and I don't think they carry incendiary devices.
Even they have their limits? Exactly. Yeah, they have a cutoff. All right. I would like to know what people think about that, so send in your emails with your theories or tweet us. At Morningstream on Twitter or themorningstream@gmail.com. Tweet us.
The Greek god of,
of social 140 communication.
Characters.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's actually not a bad thing to draw. I may draw that.
Tweet us?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Did you see my comic yesterday about Flappy Bird?
I did, yes. And I kind of agree with you about
I
that
completely
stupid
agree
game.
With it. That effing thing is the worst. And friend of the program, fellow Frog Panther, at least on Comic Dorks, Scott Kurtz had posted that he has a score of 20, and I don't know how 20? He did it. Yeah.
Wow, I have a score of 11.
I have a score of 8. And that's the best I seem to be able to muster out of that butthole of a thing. But that's taken the world by storm, and I think it's funny. You just never know. Like, that just seems like a crappy throwaway game, but that ain't what happened for that guy.
It's the new, it's the new Angry Birds, the new Plants vs. Zombies. It's, you never know what's going to catch on.
Yeah, you should call it the Angry Man. Though, or the angry players, the
angry player, yes,
good lord.
I agree with your sentiment in that video, and I don't know if you saw, but Irony Man actually created an animated version of
the comic. I did
of the comic.
It
yes.
looked fantastic. I retweeted it this morning.
Did you? Okay, good.
Because it's entertaining and insightful. Also,
and it fits on the side of a screen.
It does somehow. I also did a Tumblr version, not Tumblr version. I put up on my Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. I sound like an old lady here. My Tumblr.
I put up on my Tumblr.
Look at my Tumblr. Here, I'm going to send you a link and you can see it.
Okay.
This is because I'm so inspired by it. Here it is. I'll put it in Skype.
Okay.
So inspired by the game that I went ahead and made one of those too. And that was fun to make.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like a...
And look how evil
he
is.
Like an animated rendition of said bird.
Of that shitty little bird. That can't fly worth a crap.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, enjoy, people.
Only fly in little bursts.
So I'm going to do a little quiz. You like quizzes?
I do. Wow. It's all about me, isn't it? It's all about Brian sing it? Can Brian answer it?
Everything's coming up, Brian.
All right.
Here we go.
Bring it on.
We're going to play a little game show here called Who Said It? A child or a serial killer?
Okay. I've not clicked the link in the tadpole.
Okay, good. Now
Irony Man just put a graphic in there that
Oh, that shouldn't is shocking and
yes.
shouldn't be seen
so
by anyone.
Do not look at that.
Oh my gosh, what happened? What happened to that poor woman? So I'm going to ask you these questions. And this, by the way, Andreas Ekberg, our expat Swedish friend,
yeah.
sent this, and I thought it'd be a fun little quiz in the morning.
All right.
So here you go. We're going to ask you, who said it, a child or a serial killer? First one, I promise I won't ever chew on your bones. I promise.
Well, it sounds like it would be a serial killer thing. It could be misleading, but I'm going to say serial killer.
All right, serial killer. Wrong, a child. The perpetrator, according to Redditor Lord of Hosts, was a three-year-old with generally as happy-go-lucky attitude as was possible. This was cuddling with mom.
Okay.
All right. I love you so much. I want to cut your head off. I want to carry it around so I can see your face whenever I want. Child or serial killer?
I think I'm going to go child on this one.
Correct.
I could see a child say.
He was talking.
Innocently, like, you know.
Yep, that's exactly it. Let's see. I like children. They are tasty.
Well, my thinking is where we're going with this is it's going to be all children, but they're, you know,
right.
they're all going to sound like serial killer things. I'm going to say child on this
all
one.
All right, this one is wrong. It is Albert Fish, the man who made lamps out of human skin and inspired pretty much every horror movie villain ever.
Wow.
I want to peel your skin off is our next one.
I want to peel your skin off. It sounds like Buffalo Bob.
Doesn't it?
Buffalo Bill Cody or Buffalo Bob. What was his name in the...
Buffalo Bill...
Buffalo Bill Cody was the actual guy, but Buffalo Bob, I think, was the one in...
The lotion on the skin.
Yeah, the one in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's right.
I think I'm going to say serial killer on that one, then.
Let's find out, then. Wrong, a child. Kid woke a...
I'm not good at this.
Woke a father up at 6 a.m. delivering these horrifying words. So there's that. Believe
serial killer or a line spoken by Bones on
yes,
Star Trek.
Exactly. All right, here is... here's a good one. We're going to do two more.
Okay.
Death comes with the territory. See you in Disneyland.
That sounds like a Schwarzenegger line from a 90s action film.
Death comes with the territory.
See you in Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say... it doesn't sound like something a child...
It doesn't.
Say.
It's the "see you in Disneyland" part that throws me off.
Yes, it really is. I'm going to say I will say serial killer.
Correct, serial killer. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, famously said this after receiving 19 life sentences for murdering 14 people. He said, ooh. "Death comes with the territory. See you in Disneyland."
That's creepy.
all right. Finally, when you die, I want to put you in a glass jar so I can keep you and see you forever. Was that a child or a serial killer?
Could I be riding my motorcycle? I'm going to say that is a child. That sounds like a child, you know, like an innocent.
Innocent little kid.
Yeah.
Bing, you're correct. It was heard from 5-year-old, worst of all, 6-year-old's response. That's stupid. Where are you going to find a jar that big? Future serial killers, everybody. All right. Good job. You passed the great test.
Oh, very good.
A reminder that you can place your picks for the upcoming Oscars, the battle royale of who's the best actor, who's the best pitcher, who's the best director. All of that stuff is coming up. So if you want to be involved in that, go to tiny.cc/TMS Oscars. Make your picks. Do not pick the one. I wonder if he took it out. You think Mike took it out?
No, probably not. I don't know if you can edit one of those after people have started putting in responses. Yeah,
I don't know if he can or not. Even if he did or didn't, don't pick that song.
Yeah,
that Brian
alone,
said yesterday.
Alone, not yet. Alone, yet not alone.
I hate that name. really don't
especially
like that
name. You've got to sing it by. And even the woman who sang it, like in an interview, said, "Oh yeah, it was not a very good song."
Yeah.
Like. She's even saying it's not worthy of being an Oscar nominee.
Yeah, and if that's the case, stay far away from it because it'll screw up your winnings.
Right.
It's time for this. It's Stump a Tractor, and it won't turn down. Now it is brought to you by...
Brought to you by The Warden, a book series by independent author Felicia Yedlicka, now available on Amazon Kindle. The first book is only 99 cents. Follow Donato, the warden of a prison, holding criminals of the supernatural persuasion as he finds, acquires, and trains his successor. There are currently 5 books of this compelling series available on Amazon. Download yours today.
Download.
Down your lores.
That throat clearing you heard was Daryl Skeels. Hi, Daryl. Did you know we could hear that? Did you know?
No, I thought I was far away and quiet.
Well, here, let me play it back for you. See, just like right
after. Wow. Yeah, now that you hear it in context.
Yeah, you can't look away. You can't not hear it. Daryl, it's good to have you on. It's time for Stump a Trek Nerd, and I'm just thrilled to see you. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
I can't see you at all. I just see a blue thing that says you're here. So when I say it's good to see you, I'm lying. Daryl, let's have some fun. Let's do a Next Generation episode question. This is Star Trek, of course. You're a Trek nerd, so here we go. In the Next Generation episode where Silence has Lease.
Mm-hmm, with a big blurry face on the screen.
That's the one. The Enterprise. That's how he wrote it. The Enterprise.
You think that would be in his... like his macro, like automatically fill this out if I misspell the word Enterprise.
Just a little copy and paste there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is exploring an area of space that has yet to be explored by any Federation ship. What area of space are they exploring? Is it, ooh, I want that. Oh, you got that cool stuff, Brian.
The thing I just held up to the
camera. Yeah, that's awesome. Yes,
it is. It's the Daytimer, the Star Trek Daytimer, but it's got pictures for all, or like fake movie posters for all the different episodes.
I saw this on like
series.
Boing Boing or something.
Yeah.
All that artwork is amazing.
You go to the calendar store the day after Christmas, and all their calendars are 50% off. So I got this for like $5.
Is the calendar store like the big kiosk in the middle of the mall that you mean?
Yeah. Or sometimes they take an empty store and they just redo it into, remake it into a calendar store for the,
for
the Christmas season. Yeah. I don't have the one that has the one we're talking about. It's Where Silence Has Lease. I don't think there's a...
That's too bad. When I see that calendar kiosk when I was younger, mm-hmm. I would walk by there with my friends 3 or 4 times. We would try to see where the lady calendars were. Like swimsuit
stuff. The
calendars
with the ladies. Yes, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking
That's
about.
That's kind of how we rolled. All right, Daryl, you're possible... Or how far did I get with this? Oh, Silence Has Lease. The Enterprise is exploring an area of space that's yet to be explored by a Federation ship. What area of space are they exploring? Was it A, the Dreema Quadrant, or Drema? B, Quadrant 904.
Huh?
C, Morgana Quadrant. D, Quadrant 448. Sounds like an old cop show in the 70s, doesn't it?
Yes.
Quadrant 448.
Quadrant 448.
So we'll get all to that in a minute. You be thinking about it because there's
lots of Next Generation episode. I was thinking it was a original series.
Oh yeah, TNG. Sorry.
Yes.
It sounded dumb enough to be an old one, doesn't it?
It sounds like a title from the original series. Totally does.
I agree.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Let's have
it's better
food
than
testing.
The Dolphine.
I know, right? We're gonna try the Dulce Diana.
Yes.
Todo Mundo.
Mundo.
The Turon Camarillo Blando Sabor of Vanilla Con Manny.
Right. And apparently Blando is
Blando Calrissian.
Blando Calrissian.
That's great.
That's not a space station. That's a man.
We got to try to get to that Death Star. I love that little guy next to him.
Yes.
What's his name? Who knows? Come on, quick, trivia.
Nia Nub.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, Nia Nub.
He needed a wet nap. He's just dripping all over the place.
You know, and Blando is soft, supposed to be the word soft. This is anything but soft.
Yeah, I would call this, maybe Blando is not soft. Maybe that means something else in Honduras.
Are these white things?
Yeah, the little white bricks.
Yeah, a little white candy looking.
Turon. I'll kill all my...
Hey, look, I'm a Foley artist. Hear that?
It's fire!
Very convincing. Cut. All right. I'm going to try it. I'm not eating the whole thing, though. I just need to nip off of it.
Yeah. Well, good luck biting a chunk off of this thing.
Well, it's not too bad on the end. It's pretty soft.
Smells like a chalky floor.
Ooh,
tastes
it's good.
Like one, too.
I think it's good. I don't mind that. You know what these are like? These are like big hunks.
Bit of honeys. Oh, yeah. Right.
Like a big honey. A bit of honey kind of like that, too.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Yeah, this isn't bad.
Yeah, very big, big hunk. That's totally it.
I enjoy the Diana Todo Mundo.
Might actually finish that one.
From now on, when I have things I'm supposed to do on Monday, I'm going to call the Todo Mundo every time. All right, that isn't bad. I'm not going to eat the whole thing, though, because I have a goal. My goal is to not eat any crap for the rest of my life.
Shut up, fool!
I know. All right, wow. Daryl. Let's get to some birthdays. Do we have any? Anybody we care about celebrating, or is it just some no-name guy who's like 70-something who we didn't even know existed?
Oh, no. This is a 70s famous guy. John Shuck is 74
today.
Oh, John
Shuck.
Hold on, John Shuck.
Yeah, big old chin dude. Like, he's got a big old goon face.
Oh, yeah,
like
he is a
thug-looking dude.
Oh, he's in lots of things.
Yes.
Oh, this guy's great. Hold on, we're going to... Oh, he's John Shuck Jr. He's 74 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was quick. I know him from something more recent where he did not look that old. Let me look it up.
He's bald now.
He's in Star Trek 4.
Mm-hmm.
The Whale movie. Yeah, 6'2".
And Enterprise and DS9 and Voyager.
Wow. Oh, and look at him. God, okay.
There was some sitcom where he played like a robot or a...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was a cop partner. He was the robot cop partner. What the heck was that?
He was? Robot cop partner.
Yes. I don't remember the name of it, though.
I don't know what that
is. Unless I'm not thinking of...
Oh, you're thinking of the right thing. I remember that.
Right guy. Let's see. I'm scrolling through here. Oh, he was in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, too.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Let's see.
Wait, did you say that? Yeah, Gerald said that one. How about, was he...
Project Elf.
Diagnosis Murder. He was the police captain. Okay, not the same. Not the same. Babylon 5. There's some more science fiction for you. Project Elf? That was a movie? There was an Elf movie?
Dick Tracy. He was in L.A. Law.
Oh my gosh, you guys. There was a...
Different Strokes, Saint Elsewhere, ER.
There was an Elf movie. MacGyver.
The new Odd Couple.
The Golden Girls. He played B. Arthur that time she was sick.
There it is. Holmes and Yo-Yo. That was it.
Holmes and Yo-Yo?
Oh, maybe not.
I don't remember that name.
No, because that seems like it's right around the right time. Holmes and Yo-Yo. Let's see here.
You know what? He is a good-looking 74-year-old man. I'm just going to put that out there. He looks great for his age. I'm looking at a recent photo.
Yeah, there it is. Detective Alexander Holmes has no luck with his partners. They always end up at the hospital or the morgue. But this won't happen to his very new partner, Yo-Yo, a sophisticated, indestructible android.
Is this a Funny or Die video? What is this you're talking about?
It's a real thing. Holmes and Yo-Yo lasted one season.
Wow. I actually remember that.
Yes. And,
Does anyone yell "Yo Holmes" to Bel Air at any
point? Yo Holmes,
that'd be awesome. All right, that is a show I will probably never see. Maybe forecast or not forecast, autopilot. Maybe we'll see. We'll keep you guys informed. Daryl, back to your damn question. It's this segment of space, this section of space, this quadrant of space that they're exploring. Was it A, the Dreema quadrant, Dreema? B, quadrant 904, Morgana quadrant, or quadrant 448?
We got a lot of quadrants. I thought quadrant meant four, so there could only be four quadrants. But then we have alpha, delta, gamma, whatever, and then plus now we have all these other ones.
They could be sub-quadrants. Perhaps everything's just space is all done in fours in Star Trek land.
Yeah.
All quadrants.
An infinite number of fours.
Yeah. I mean, Worf has four hearts or whatever, right? Data has four toes on each foot. I don't know if that's true or not. I know he's programmed in all the pleasures of whatever.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Are there other fours? I've never heard of anything being separated by four. So I'm going to agree with you that it's a bad measurement of space. Because if it's only if you say quadrant, that means four, right? Quad.
Yeah.
Four.
Shouldn't there only be four?
Yeah. I don't like that. Think. Suddenly, all of Star Trek has lost some good grace with me.
This is great. Big thanks to Irony Man for finding. He found the intro to Holmes and Yo-Yo on YouTube.
Send me this link.
I'm putting it in the Skype right now.
Clicking the link. Here we go. This is going to be good. Oh my gosh.
You've got four partners in the hospital. Come on, Alex. You're a good cop.
By the way, who's my new partner?
Polaroids.
We call him Yo-Yo. He weighs 427 pounds. He's a completely mobile computer.
Hold on a second, you guys. He just made a He just made a Polaroid come out of his pocket by pushing his nose. Because Polaroid is the epitome of Android technology.
Specially programmed for police work.
Is he indestructible?
We think so.
Send in Holmes.
You see the guy headbutt him in the gut?
Yes. Runs into...
Oh, that was interesting. All right. Richard B. Shaw. I think it's all that terrible music at the end. This looks really bad, you guys.
It was even then.
I'm kickstarting to have you guys do that on a pilot. We gotta find it.
I am into this.
It's a pilot for Holmes and Yo-Yo.
I am into this. Okay, brilliant. Boy, today's Trek Nerd yielded way more good than I would have expected. All right, Daryl, back to your question.
Stick that in your quadrant.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what do you say, man? What do you think?
Okay. Drama, Dreama, I don't even remember that, so I'm crossing that out. And the number things, I don't remember them either, but I remember Morgana, and I remember it being in this episode, so I guess I have to choose that.
Okay. Isn't that also a Star Wars reference, Morgana? Yeah. The princess's name, her full name, Princess Leia... Oh, no. What is it? Princess Morgana. Leia Organa?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Organa, no M.
Yeah, no M.
Oh, well, then forget it. Okay, well, let's find out. Daryl, if you're right or wrong, we'll only know when we do this.
Congratulations!
Well, well, well.
You're a winner!
Picard says they're exploring the Morgana Quadrant. Here they discover a part of space that appears and disappears. Wesley says it's like a hole in space. Brilliant kid, that Wesley. They launch a probe, and it too disappears. Worf believes this could be a space creature that can devour entire ships, because he was always the paranoid one. You notice that? Like, Worf is always the one that's like, it's going to be a giant creature.
We should have our shields up and shoot it.
All the probe systems are functioning perfectly, sir.
It's gone.
Data, what happened?
Unknown, sir.
Recommend we go to yellow alert, sir.
Why? Explain.
Sorry, sir.
Mr. Worf, this starship operates best when my officers share with me what is on their minds.
My thoughts were of an old Klingon legend. A gigantic black space creature, which was said to devour entire vessels.
Devour vessels?
Sorry, Commander, I agree. These are thoughts hardly worthy of a trained and practical security officer.
It's just these, like, I just imagine Klingons at home, their parents telling them terrible stories at night and stuff. Like,
well, just like humans do.
Don't go outside, Worf. The night Klingon killer monkey man will kill you, like... He was always doing that on the show. But you were right, and that means you win. And that means 2 days in a row now, Daryl's the big wiener. Congratulations on that.
Yay.
Two more days of that, and we'll see how you do it by the end of the week. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter, and This Week in Treks only, This Week in Treks only, Daryl. Oh, I said that twice.
He's the only Daryl on
This Week in Treks. Exactly. Him and Mike knocking it out every week. All right, mm-hmm. Daryl, let's play a little game that you like to call what?
I'm reading a text.
Yeah, that was from me. I didn't get the. I didn't know you were
the
talking 10 about.
Pounds of food.
Oh, tasting. Yeah. You, at the beginning, you guys were always, I don't know if I should eat this or not. I don't feel good. Well, you don't have to eat 10 pounds of it. You just have to nibble enough to taste it.
10 pounds? But that's why I was confused. Is there 10 pounds of something?
The way you're acting. Oh. Like, or it's going to fill up my gut and I'll explode.
I have to be careful, though, because sometimes I'll start on one of these things, and by noon, where did the Oreos go?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah, you don't so want to get started.
Anyway, all right. So what are we playing? Okay. What are we doing?
I have no idea. Let's see. What do we have? I'll just dip into my reserve of junk.
Okay.
How about not thongs? Mortes. Let's
mortes.
Do mortes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's your theme.
Diarrhea.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I did this backwards. Well, I'll ask the question now then.
All right.
Is this a... Oh, it's just like yesterday. Is this a Star Trek weapon or a bricklaying tool? And okay. I'm not giving you any hints.
All right. Yeah, yesterday it went bad for you.
Yes.
It didn't go well at all. Okay. So I'm ready. Lay it on us.
Star Trek weapon or bricklaying tool?
Yeah.
Mortes.
Oh, mortes is the thing.
I'm
going to say a Star Trek weapon because I think it sounds too much like mortar to be real.
to be a real thing. I'm gonna say, just for fun, I'll say it's the real thing. It's an actual tool.
It's a Trek weapon.
Damn it. Couldn't you use it if it was still a tool and still kill Klingons with it?
Sure.
Couldn't you? Can you? Will you? Won't you?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. I may have missed the weekend of kindness by a bit, but this message is dedicated to doing a kindness for my dad. He's been a software developer for a very long time and recently released a fast-paced little word game called Wordnix on the iOS App Store. The game is completely free, and I only ask that you give it a download and leave a nice review if you like it. I know it would make his year to see that people were enjoying the product of his hobby. Thanks and all the best. Seth from Minnesota, and that is Wordnix, W-O-R-D-N-I-X, on the iOS App Store.
Lovely. All right, here we go. Let's get right into this here.
All right, get into it.
Courtney Allen Curtis. She's the Missouri State Representative. I don't know what party. Actually, we may find out here. Actually, she's Democrats.
Okay.
And this is, if I, you know me, dude. I pick a bit from column A and a pick from column B when it comes to politics.
Yes.
If there's anything that I think Democrats spend way too much time on, it's silly, frivolous things like this. But whatever. Missouri State Representative, she wants high five to be the official state greeting of Missouri.
High five.
High five. The Democratic lawmaker has introduced a bill to the Missouri House of House of Representatives, or the MHR, that would make the high five of the state's official greeting. The bill, HB 1624, reads, and by the way, the fact that it has a number and a name means people have to file it and work with it, which means it's a colossal waste of taxpayer money. The high five is selected for and shall be known as the official state greeting in the state of Missouri, according to TV station KTVI. Quote, the high five is friendly, fun, and can lift spirits. And with tensions running high in the Capitol building, the high five might be just what Missouri needs. He told the South. Oh, it's a dude. He told the South County Mall. Oh, Mail. Sorry.
I like the idea.
Might as well be the South County Mall. Yeah.
Tiffany was opening for him, and then he came out. An official state greeting can help us break up the monotony of the day-to-day work and promote a friendlier environment between both sides of the aisle. The bill, which was introduced on January 28th, is getting high fives from some Missourians. Yvette Hannigan told Fox's Kansas City affiliate that, quote, it sounds like a lot of fun, unquote.
Yeah, okay.
What are you guys doing over there?
I mean, then we're going to need to have regulations on how hard you can high five. Like, some people are too aggressive and they're hurting other people. And
yeah, like, I look,
people need to wash their hands before they high five.
It's just a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Just say, just start high fiving people. They want to do it back. Great.
Now, Putty would get behind this.
Of course he would.
High five, Peter.
Wouldn't he?
Hey, Peter. Hey, Peter.
That's all I can do, though. You know that. You know that's all I can do. So wait, I was trying to find you.
True story.
There you go. There
true
you go.
Story.
True story.
That guy has voice work. You know, he is set for life.
Oh, yeah, he does just fine. Mm-hmm. Rob Ford, Mayor Ford, Toronto's embattled, crack-smoking hooker spending time with mayor.
Hey, don't you know, slag on the guy. It was during one of his drunken binges.
All right. Oh, yeah, that he admitted to.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, I kind of admire the guy's... his chutzpah, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Because he seems to just...
Yeah. Got a lot of chutzpah.
How do you spell that, chutzpah?
There C-H-U-T.
That's great.
That's not it. H...
C-H-U-T... Z-P-A?
Is it chutzpah?
Yeah. It's spelled chutzpah, but it's pronounced chutzpah.
Let's see.
Whooping, whooping, whooping!
No, that's not it. All right. Forget it. Rob Ford defends Justin Bieber. He says, this is a quote. You ready?
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me that he would do this, but he says this quote, come on. He's a young guy, 19 years old. I wish I was successful as he was. I wish I was at, that's how he said it. I wish I was successful as he was. 19 years old. Guys, think back to when you were 19, you know? I love that he's in Canada, so we don't have to take more American crap for that guy.
Oh my gosh, I know. We'd never hear the end of it.
Yeah. I wonder, would you ever, we've never really heard from any Torontoans. I think we kind of have on Twitter and stuff where they're like, yeah, he's kind of the worst or whatever, but I feel like we haven't heard enough from people on the ground.
Isn't Bronco from, he's not from Toronto, he's from somewhere further west, right?
Other side of the street, yeah. He's up in the, I want to say the, is it Nova Scotia? No.
No.
What's the side where the trailer park boys are from?
British Columbia, Vancouver area, I like this side of
wherever those guys are
west
from.
West side of things.
Yeah, okay. Wherever Bubbles lives, that's kind of where he lives, I think. He introduced me to that show, and
Trailer Park Boys. I still haven't watched it. It's in my queue.
I owe him. Hey, those are great. You really should watch them. They're a hoot.
Yeah.
Don't have grandma around though.
They're a real hoot.
Oh, they're a real hoot. Let's see. Added sugar increases the risk of dying.
Oh.
This just in. A big study of the day. Added sugar increases risk of dying from heart disease. Specifically, Americans become more conscious about the evils of eating sugary foods. Or have we? Hmm. We've reduced our sugar intake from nearly 17% of our total calories from about a decade ago to fewer than 15% of our calories in the latest government nutrition surveys. Turns out that was a wise move, since a new study today confirms that eating too much sugar is bad for your heart and could lead
to
an early death.
Wow.
Yeah.
You feel
like you're being enlightened here?
I sure do. Wow.
Yeah. Like we couldn't have done this ourselves.
No, you'll tell me that too much sugar makes you fat, too, or too much...
too much of anything does something bad.
Yeah, exactly.
The research published online on Monday on the JAMA internal medicine thing. JAMA, J-A-M-A.
JAMA.
JAMA, J-A-M-A. What's that stand for?
Probably something American Medical, Journal of American Medicine... Association or something?
That's probably right. Journal of the American Medical Association. That's probably right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Could be.
That'd be my guess.
Jerry Adams makes apples. I don't know.
Just a made-up acronym.
Just a made-up acronym. That's pretty good. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. They examined nutrition surveys for nearly 12,000 Americans and found that those who reported consuming the greatest percentage of calories from added sugar were twice as likely to die from heart disease over a 14-year period compared to those who consumed less, or the least, is how they wrote it. So, Brian, it's just a reminder. Let's eat less sugar, everybody.
Okay.
Let's try to keep ourselves...
How much is in this little brick of caramel?
Probably
soft
a lot.
Caramel.
Probably a lot. I'm looking. Sugar... What's sugar? What's Spanish? What's sugar?
Azúcar.
Azúcar? Okay.
Azúcar.
Oh, second thing in there. And the first thing, glucosa. So.
Oh, there you go. That's what holds the azúcar together.
Yeah.
Sugar glue to hold the sugar together.
Together, they make Todo Mundo. Let's talk about HelloFresh.com, where there are no added sugars. Go get a healthy meal and make it in 30 minutes or less. How do you do this, you say? It's real simple, guys. HelloFresh.com. Find out if they deliver to your area. It's the first thing to do. And if they do, pick one of these chef's recipes and go, ooh, that shrimp over hoo-ha looks real good, or whatever it is this week. And you choose that one. They'll then send you the farm fresh ingredients. They're right to your door. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go get it. It just comes to you. And then 30 minutes later, boom, everyone's impressed because you just made the best meal they'd had all week. Visit HelloFresh.com and check them out today. Use the code MORNINGSTREAM50 at checkout. That will get you 50% off your first order at HelloFresh.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
The Life is Leet podcast. Nerds yelling at microphones about things. Jesse, a tadpooler, and Aaron, his younger brother, talk about video games, anime, comics, movies, and whatever other nerdy things they feel like. Join us for the live recording on Saturday afternoons in the only time zone that matters. For all the links, visit lifeisleet.com.
Nice.
By the way, according to Cleo, Bronco does live north of Toronto, close to Buffalo, New York.
Oh, okay. Could he come down and see a Browns game whenever he wants? Why would he is the question. But
why would he? But yes, he probably could.
Okay, great. How are the Browns these days? You don't ever see Buffalo in the...
The Bills?
Or the Bills. Did I say the Browns?
Yes. I thought you were talking about Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to see the Bills play...
He could come down to Cleveland too, those.
When's the last time the Bills were in...
the Super Bowl?
Been years.
Certainly within the last 10 years. I want to say Bills-Cowboys was... 6 years ago? Seven years ago?
And didn't
maybe?
The Cowboys just destroy them?
Oh, I don't remember.
I want to say it was like that game the other day. It was real bad.
Oh, no, I don't think. I can't remember a game. Yeah, 2007 was the Bills-Cowboys. Oh, maybe 2011, too.
Didn't that Denver game feel like the Globetrotters and the Washington Generals and the generals were the were your team. Didn't you feel like that? Like it was so comical.
It really was. Yes. So oh, bad. No, it wasn't. It was 2007. Yeah, the Cowboys defeated the Bills by a score 52-17, winning their third Super Bowl in team history.
That's a pretty good spread there.
That was in Super Bowl 27, so further back.
Yeah.
And then 28 was Cowboys defeating the Bills by 30-13, so back-to-back.
Both pretty good routes, too. Jeez.
Yep.
Was Aikman in the, not the second one, but he'd been in that first one.
He would have been the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think he would have been in both, wouldn't he? Or did he retire after?
I'll say 07 would have been too late for him, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't think that was 07. I think that's further back. Oh, was
oh, you said like 27.
93. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah, that would have been Aikman.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's estranged partner. I think that, what does that mean?
Well, in this case, it's just a... It's
someone who lived with him.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why they have to say estranged. Can they just say ex-girlfriend or something? I don't know why they have to do it that way. Estranged partner. Anyway, said he appeared to be high on Saturday. Investigators recovered 49, how do you say this, glassinines?
Where's the, glassinines?
Glassinines? Yes, glassinines? Yeah. It's a heroin container?
Glassines.
What is that, like a little...
A little container of heroin, those little tiny, little glass jars that...
Like little, they look like little test tube kind of...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that like on one of those intervention
shows. For some reason, I'm thinking
that
they're tinted or something, aren't they? Or
I don't know.
Oh, no, I guess that doesn't have to be. It can be little envelopes. It's a very thin and smooth paper that is air and water resistant.
Oh.
So it's like those, it's like a little envelope.
Like Honduras used Band-Aid treats that we had the other day.
That's like right. Those. You can get a bunch of them. You can get 500 on eBay for $22.
What would you do with those? Besides drugs, I mean.
You have another purpose? You put like wedding invitations in them because they're that, you know, they're that semi-transparent envelope paper.
Huh.
Look like wax paper almost.
All right. Well, when I get into my heroin habit, I'll know where to go.
There you go. Now you know. Hit eBay.
Yeah. Mimi O'Donnell told investigators, this is that lady's name, that she saw Mr. Hoffman Saturday at 2 p.m. on the street near his West Village apartment and that he appeared to be under the influence of drugs. Official said, spoke to him on the phone at about 8 p.m. Saturday and said he sounded high. Again, according to this official. I think we get it. I think he's, you know, there was some drug thing going on. We tried to look. We had a little time yesterday in the evening, and we thought, you know what? Let's try to find a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie that we can all watch.
Mm-hmm.
And with the kids, I'm thinking, well, it can't be anything rough here. We got to go.
Can't be Big Lebowski.
No, as much as I'd love it to be. Yeah. TNT runs a really great edited version of Lebowski that is so flawlessly edited that you have no idea that they're cutting swear words out. It's so well done. Yeah. It's amazing.
But
I wish
you pretty
I could
much cut out. You cut out Tara Reid's only line.
yeah, pretty much. Or you have her say something else. I don't know what she does. Right. But I remember seeing that once and going, "Oh, this isn't bad. The kids could watch this. Why did I think this was rough?" And then I got the DVD version. And went, "Oh no, that wasn't this version."
You can watch me bend over to pick up a frisbee for $1,000.
Oh, that movie. So the one we found that they have Ripley, Talented Mr. Ripley, and a bunch of others on there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the one we found on Netflix that we forgot he was even in, he's the voice actor in a really strange claymation movie called, oh crap, Max and the name always leaves me. Hold on. We're going to find
Mac,
it.
Oh no, not Mac and Me. That's way earlier.
No, it's, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Okay. He was in. Hold on to your butts. Max and Mary, I think. Oh, Mary and Max, it's called. Hmm. He played Max, and it is one of the strangest, most interesting, cool animated things you'll ever see. And it's
I've
not
never even heard of it.
It's not entirely for kids.
Yeah.
I would say. I mean, it depends on little. It's a little freaky. I wouldn't have your little 5-year old watch it.
Oh God. Okay.
It's a little smarter than
that. Oh, look at that. Looking at the it's kind of cool, like almost like a Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, very much that style. It's here's the short of it. The tale of a friendship between two unlikely pen pals, Mary, a lonely 8-year-old girl living in the suburbs of Melbourne, Australia, and Max, a 42-year-old living a severely obese man living in New York. And it is an odd little thing, but we love that movie. And so that's what we watched.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good.
Interesting.
It's really good. Toni Collette plays somebody in there, too.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Eric Bana.
From Sixth Sense, she was the mom.
Yeah,
and
she's in lots of stuff.
That ABBA movie.
She's that Many States of Terror or whatever.
That's right, United States of Terror.
There's an ABBA movie.
Well, it's the movie where she's from Porpoise Spit wedding, Muriel's wedding.
I am unaware of this.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the first thing that she was ever in that actually made a splash. She plays this girl who grows up in Porpoise Spit, Australia.
Wow.
And dreams of getting married and does everything she can to get married. Not really caring about who she gets married to, but she's a huge ABBA fan. And so she sits in a room alone and sings ABBA songs. And then she meets Rachel Griffiths, who's kind of a like-minded individual. And
wow.
It was good. It was actually a really good movie.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if you have time, folks, get Mary and Max. It's on Netflix. And if you want to dig deeper, you can watch his Harvey Crumpet short, which is weird as hell. He's done some other stuff, but those are the two main things he's done. He hasn't done anything since 2009, yet here are pictures of him this year at Sundance hanging out with Robert Redford. So I don't know what's going on. But there's nothing on IMDb about anything new. Interesting guy, though.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Quantum Leap's Scott Bakula. That's how they've headlined this.
Yeah, not say, Enterprises.
Yeah, not Enterprises, not Necessary Roughness Star.
Right.
Quantum Leaps.
Major League, wasn't he in? No, I'm thinking of Necessary Roughness. Yeah.
I mean, because Necessary Roughness was like...
It was Major League with football.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally was. And it had Sinbad in it.
Yes, right. And playing
I remember that.
Yes, right.
I had a lot of fun with that movie. I think it's probably super dumb and doesn't hold up, but at the time I thought it was all right. Quantum Leap's Scott Bakula set to star in a special agent in a new NCIS spinoff based on New Orleans. It will be called NCIS New Orleans.
Clever.
Scott Bakula is set to be in the cast of this new show. Deadline Hollywood reported on Monday. The 49-year-old Quantum Leap star will play the show's central character, NCIS Special Agent Pride.
Ooh.
That's the name of the character?
Special Agent Pride.
I don't like that at all. The New Orleans office will handle cases from Pensacola through Mississippi and Louisiana to the Texas Panhandle. Everyone's trying to get onto this this justified piece of the pie.
Oh, sure.
You notice
sure.
that?
Right, right.
I watched a couple episodes on the treadmill of Vegas.
Oh, yeah. You're saying you like that.
It's okay. It's
Well, Las Vegas. You're not talking about the old... No. Robert... what was the guy's name? Spencer for Hire guy.
Robert.
Yeah.
His name was Robert. Robert... Oh, shite. That had Avery Brooks was on there as the man called Hawk. Remember that?
Yes, yeah. That's right.
But anyway.
Robert Urich,
thank you.
Yes.
Las
Vegas was the one that was out more recently. Vegas was the...
No, Vegas. They're both called Vegas, but
they
the old one had a...
Vegas?
Well, the old one had a S in it.
Had a dollar sign.
Or a dollar sign. This
had
one does not.
Had a K-dollar, huh? Mega dollar, huh?
And it's
I could have sworn the newer one was called Las Vegas.
Nope, just Vegas. And it's got a cool logo and stuff at the beginning. It's nice. But it's got Michael Chiklis as this Chicago mobster comes into Vegas and is running this fake casino called the Savoy.
Oh, okay. That's a different one that I'm thinking of. I was thinking of the one with James Caan and...
That was Las Vegas.
Yes.
And that's the one that had the great Elvis song at the beginning.
Right, the less conversation.
Ooh, that's
exactly,
the best song ever.
Yes,
best Vegas, best
Josh Duhamel.
As far as I care in this life, that is the only song of Elvis's that I give two poops about.
Really,
I love
it
that.
It's really
song.
Just because of the JKL remix. I mean, really, the original probably does nothing for you.
Probably nothing, but that one version of it just gets me every time. He's in the sequins and the suit, and it's all like he's on drugs probably. It's great.
Okay, so it's the one called Vegas that came out last year. Yes, I totally remember that.
Yes, it only lasted 22 episodes or something.
Right. Well, not Wild West, but it was like a...
Definitely a Western. Yes, you are not wrong to assume that. And this is the thing about it. I can tell why it got canceled. But it has a lot of pedigree. There's a lot of these great actors. Carrie Ann Moss is in it. Mm. Although Dennis Quaid, like I said, he's got the weirdest face. But he's in it. Mm-hmm. His brother's the dude from... That dinosaur movie that went away. Oh, crap. Not movie, TV show where they went back in time to reset the world.
Oh, yes.
Had the guy from Avatar. Thank you, Terra Nova guy. He's the second in command. He's his brother. And then there's this other guy. And they're
Taylor Handley or...
something like that. And it's fun in the sense that, hey, Vegas in the 60s. It's interesting. Mob controlled everything. And, you know, it's just interesting. But it's not really that well made. I can tell why it's not. I mean, basically, they tried to make CIS... or CSI, And they tried to it's like they tried to mesh mesh CSI with like a Justified twist. And the problem with doing that is there's a reason Justified is amazing, and it isn't because a guy wears a cowboy hat and saunters around town. There's more to it. And I feel like they kind of lost their way. The co-creator is the writer of the Casino book that Casino was based on, and that screenplay.
Really? Yeah.
So you'd think there'd be all kinds of cred there, but I don't know. It's not great. It's fun. I'm going to enjoy just kind of seeing it, but it's kind of dumb.
Well, you've only got 21 episodes to go through.
We'll see if I get that far. I mean, there's things I like about it. I think I like the idea more than I like the execution. Let's put it that way. Quantum Leap, Scott Bakula. There you go. So he's doing that. Watch for that coming soon. It'll be executive produced by showrunners Gary Glassberg and Mark Harmon, star of the original NCIS, which I've never seen a single episode of. So,
yeah.
Is it any good? I have no idea.
No sign of Gushy or Al.
No. Nope. Yeah. Not in there.
Nope.
And also, people don't know this, or I've heard this as a rumor. I don't know if it's true, but Mark Harmon supposedly, this character in this show spawned from his character he played on The West Wing.
Oh, really?
And this is all based on what would that guy's life be like if he was to do this for the Navy. I don't know if that's true, but he was really good on The West Wing. It was fantastic.
Interesting.
Role. Yeah.
By the way, according to Rod in Twitter, Scott Bakula was in Major League 3, Back to the Minors.
Oh, my gosh. Well, good for him. Remember Summer School? Remember that?
Yes, that was Mark Harmon.
He was in that.
And Kirstie Alley.
Yep, that's right.
I totally remember that movie.
Veronica's, what was it?
A closet.
Closet. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. All right. Jabba's Palace, Veronica's that's Closet. Right. Got that's it. Right.
It's supposed to be Victoria's Secret, Veronica's Closet.
Have you seen that clip on Conan of what's his name from SNL? I can't think of his name now. Bill Hader doing his Jabba the Hutt dying impression?
No.
Oh my gosh, you gotta hear this. This is gonna we'll just do this here real quick.
Oh good, yeah, for sure.
What's his name? Who is Bill Hader?
Bill Hader.
Oh, why is the audio going all weird all of a sudden? Do you hear that?
Yeah, it's all choppy.
Well, that isn't good.
No.
I don't like that one bit.
I can't really pause. You need to pause and unpause me in Skype.
I think something's up. I don't know
if there we go. It's fixed.
Yeah, it is, but I think I know what happened there. I've got a memory overload. Skype has memory leaks. I'm just going to put that out there. It does. It's kind of crap.
I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm just going to suggest that Skype has memory leaks. So we're going to take a break. Before we do that, though, I'm going to reboot everything. Not everything, but just something. So hold on, everybody. Wing this. Okay, we're all back, and we're going to take a break. So we're back to take a break. Well, let's do, you got some music lined up?
I do have some music. This one's a little bit late. This was supposed to be on the 30th of January, but it's going out to Dan. Dear Scott and Brian, I know it's a little short notice, but Thursday will mark my 30th standard Earth year on this planet. To help me cope with the loss of my 20s, could you play Shooting Star by Puddle of Mud? The original by Bad Company is one of my favorite songs. I've been listening to TMS from the beginning and haven't missed an episode. Thanks for making my hour and a half commute more bearable. LTST, Dan.
Oh, hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan. So Puddle of Mud came out with this great album a couple of years ago called Recovered. And so it was obviously an album, or I'm sorry, Rediscovered. Obviously an entire album of covers. Great stuff on there, including this great cover of Bad Company's Shooting Star. Here is Puddle of Mud.
All right. Before we do that, real quick, Bill Hader and his Star Wars impression.
Okay.
Just, blocked plugin. Wonderful.
Oh, no.
Screw that. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, no. Where'd I park my Flash Media Player?
All right. Let's play that song. When we come back, we'll have Bill Duran, and we'll also later have jury Justin Roberts. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. Nice.
And Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. Learned to do what they could was from there. It didn't take him long. And got himself a guitar. He used to play it every night. And now he's in a rock and roll outfit and everything's alright. Don't you know? And Johnny told his mama, hey mama, I'm going away. Yeah, I'm gonna hit the big time.
a teardrop in her eye. And Johnny said, don't cry, mama, just smile and wave goodbye. Don't you know? Sleeping tablets by his head, and Johnny's life passed him by like a warm summer day. If you listen to the wind, you can still hear him play. Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know that you are a shooting star? Don't you know?
Someone smoking it, like those burnout bohemians or that crazy-eyed custodian at your school. You may have taken a toke or two. But do you know the whole story? Do you know the blunt truth? Weed, grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish. Or hash, for short. No matter what you call it, no matter what hip street lift it's referred, or referred to buy. It all comes from the same stash. It's all marijuana.
The Morning Stream. The next best thing since sliced bread.
You hear those Skeletor guys laughing?
Yes. Oh, he looks like a real pain in the butt.
Those guys are great. That comes from a video where the Skeletor, the new Skeletor guy and the old Skeletor guy are hanging out. And it's all kind of nonsense, except the part where they laugh.
Yeah.
This is just great. All right. Hey, let's get going here with Bill Duran.
Okay.
I've decided that I'm not going to run Chrome for the rest of the show because F
wow.
That, F that. It's just a memory hog.
Yeah, you'll teach them.
Yeah. Memory hoggers. Let's see. Bill is going to be right here, right now. Right here, right now. There's no other place he'd rather be, right?
That's right. Jesus Jones, baby.
Uh-huh. Real good. Let's give a little theme for our buddy here. How about...
he wouldn't leave.
There. There you go.
Speak you, Skeletor.
Bill Duran, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Bill. Fine. How are you? Hey, look at you on video. Very nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You look a little sinister in your little hoodie thing.
Well, there. That's because I have like a really nice studio light right there.
Mm-hmm.
And just now, it died. It just faded out.
That's not good.
And it's all dark in here now.
What happened? Are you? You're not in the middle of. You guys aren't having snow, are you? From this weird storm that's covering the whole country.
No, I think the bulb just died.
Something simple.
We have weird electricity in this house. Light bulbs die all the time.
Well, everybody's still trying to recover from that that crazy loss or that win, excuse me.
Yeah.
It's, exactly.
You know, Seattle people riot like crazy people. Did you see videos of them like waiting for the light to cross the street? Mm-hmm. Like they refuse to jaywalk and they're like, woo.
Rebels, man. Rebels.
I know.
All of them.
So so I wake up at right when the show starts and I pop TMS on my phone. The very first thing I hear this morning is Brian Ibbett saying, "Yeah, I don't know if I can do push-ups today."
I'm fighting a little bit of a cold here, Bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to give look. He is infirmed. Okay, that's how we're going to look at this.
Slightly infirmed. Yeah. But
all right.
Because it wasn't that the deal. How did the deal go? Just remind people, what was the deal with the push-ups?
50 push-ups for me or a deep-fried Twinkie for Bill was the...
Hey, all I'm going to say is if I was sick, I would still eat that Twinkie.
I think eating the Twinkie would have made you sick.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, that would have been bad for you. So I say we do this is mm-hmm. We let Brian rest up a little bit.
Okay.
Let him get over his whatever he's got there.
Yeah.
The ganja, the weed, the Mary Jane, the whatever he's got.
I don't think that's what I've got.
Oh, that was the name.
let's not put that out there.
All right. Okay. And we'll do it next Tuesday.
All right.
On the air when you're feeling more like your regular self.
I'm okay with this.
All right.
Sounds good.
You down with that, Bill? Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna break him up. I can break him up, right?
One a day for the next 50 weeks. Right.
No. I would recommend, do sets of like 5 or 10.
Cool. All right. But I'll do them throughout the show. Yeah. So it'll be like push up break and I'll go take a break and run over to the side here. The camera will be able to see me because I think if I do it right there,
the
camera should still be able to see me.
Are you going to do on your thumbs, one fist? You're going to do curly style?
No, I've got these circular things that my neighbor gave me that are supposed to help you because my wrists are not great. Mm. Although they're feeling okay today. Like these wrist things. So you hold on to these circular bars and then you do your push-ups on those. And
those
they rotate
really
on the ground.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Have any of us here ever had major like wrist issues from typing or computer use? Or
not major, but every once in a while I get it to where I can't even bend my wrist.
That seems bad.
Yeah.
Do you ever put on one of those wrist rests like that dude on that South Park World of Warcraft episode where you had to wear like the little wristy things?
Yes, actually I have, but not for more than like a couple hours and then it's fine.
Okay. How about you, Bill? You ever suffered from the carpal or the tunnel?
No. Just my bum knee from when I was fat. That's all.
Is that from when you... Wait, hold on. You got a bad knee, but you attribute it to being bad from when you had more weight?
That's my own personal diagnosis. That's why I'm guessing how I wrecked it. Because I didn't do anything to it. It's just over time, it got worse and worse. The irony is that I didn't realize how bad it was until I had lost all that weight. And I was like, I'm fit again. Let's go running. Yeah. Oh, God, I can't do it.
Yeah. Totally understand. Well, I'm glad you're here with us today to talk about fitness, I assume. What's on your mind? What's going on?
Quick note, Seth on Twitter let me know that the show Good Eats is on Amazon Prime Instant Streaming.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my love. My wife will be so happy to hear this. That's great.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I didn't check. So if it's wrong, blame Seth.
But I'm sure, nobody's going to put faulty information out on the internet.
No, certainly not. No.
Don't even say those words. That never happens.
Speaking of faulty information on the internet, I was on Reddit this morning, as is my breakfast routine. I'll browse through, your normal subreddits that are like funny pictures and funny videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or one of my favorites, abandoned porn. Which isn't exactly what you think it is.
What is it?
It's just photos of buildings and places that have been abandoned.
Abandoned buildings and things.
Not like an old dirty rag sitting in the corner that someone left there.
Yeah, you don't want that. I've seen, or there's a Twitter account I follow, I think, called Abandoned Something.
Yeah.
Maybe just Abandoned, and it's the same thing, like photos and videos of like weird warehouses and parts of, or big empty amusement parks. They're just like all rotting old things. That kind of stuff is really cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I was on there browsing the normal thing, and I was thinking, like, I wonder, there's got to be like a fitness one, right? Mm-hmm. That seems like a thing.
It seems like it. Sure.
So instead of searching for it, I just typed in the URL /r/fitness, and sure enough, bam, sends me right to this this fitness subreddit, which is really, really cool. And it looks like it's super, super active, and lots of people are on there talking about stuff. Now, first of all, they have a post at the top that says, if you're new to r/fitness, go read that. It sort of explains what they do in the subreddit. But also, your health should not be crowdsourced. If you have, if you're injured, if you actually injured yourself, or if you have a health issue or an eating condition or allergies or anything like that, like, go see a professional. Okay. Don't crowdsource that.
All right.
But this is a great place to go if you want to see what other people are doing, what sort of things other people are trying as far as fitness, exercise, and diet. It's really cool. I can do this, can't I? Woo! Web browser.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Fancy.
Oh, right there in the video. Whoa.
Yeah, so people are saying things like, oh, let's talk about strong lifts and military PT. Personal training. There we go. Yeah.
For physical therapy.
Yeah. A lot of this is reading, right? A lot of it's like, not a lot of pictures and stuff here. But, for example, here's one called Eating Enough on a College Budget. That's a really good thing. Like, if you're trying to, let's say, gain weight, you have to eat a million pieces of chicken every day, and you have a college budget, like, that's hard to do. So.
Right.
So one of the things that I really liked, and again, if you read the sort of intro post they have at the top there, they explain this. They do daily activities, which is kind of cool. So, for example, Sunday Victory, where you talk about your past week's success.
Wow.
So you can be like, I lost 3 pounds this week. Woo, guys, it's crazy. And people will talk about that. Hmm. They have Moronic Monday. So if you have questions that you are afraid to ask because you think they are dumb, they're like, bring it on Monday.
So you can only do those on Monday, though.
You could probably do it any day you want, but I think it's fun to encourage people to be specific on certain days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reddit is such a weird animal.
It really is, yeah.
Because some of the subreddits are completely useless.
Well, they
only
are, but
for entertainment value.
It's such an interesting ecosystem, though. It's always impressed me with like how fervent the community is. Mm-hmm. I mean, aren't they all? I mean, originally it feels like a lot of those people were people that were really, really pissed at Digg and the changes they were making, and they just flocked over there and then stayed, and now they've got like their own nation, basically.
Yeah,
like their own country. It's amazing.
It's cool too, and it's a weird beast. Whenever you and I this drives me up a wall. Whenever you try and promote something that you did, people on Reddit are like, you can't do that, man. You can't do that.
Really?
I'm like, well then how am I, if you can't self promote, how do you promote?
Yeah, you got
so
that.
I'm like, look at, and then any post where it's like, check out this thing that my friend knitted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, That's not your friend. You did it. Yeah. But you're getting around this.
That's how you get around it. Check out, my friend made this really cool replica of a gun in Mass Effect.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I've been asked a few times to do an AMA over there, and I may do one eventually. It kind of scares me, though, to be honest. Like, it seems like a big beast that is a scary place to go, and it probably isn't, and it's probably just fine. And people who have done it have said, oh, no, just go do it. It's not a big deal. But Reddit, for me, is also the place where every once in a while I find out one of my cartoons has had my name stripped out of it, and now it's all over Reddit.
Mm.
Well, that's the thing that irritates me, is like, no accreditation. No one's here to get famous. It's like, shut up. People get famous on Reddit. It happens.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Not that big a
so
deal.
So back to the Reddit, the fitness one, though. The fitness one, and I haven't dove into it very deeply, but it does look super useful. And this one is a general fitness one, but there's also a ton more that are like specific ones. So like a 100 push-up subreddit, or first marathon, or P90X. Then there's a whole one for every single sport, one for every single martial art, one for diets, one
which
for
makes pictures. I mean, it makes sense, because you'd want to know like recommendations for how to get ready for either a sport or for a marathon, right, or how not to overdo it for a diet, things like that. I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. There's also one called, like, people want to post progress pictures if they're losing weight and stuff.
Sure.
And there's also one that jumped at me right away called Naked Progress, where people take naked progress photos, which, if you want to get photos of dudes who are losing weight, who are naked, that's the place to go, apparently.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
Okay. That seems odd to me.
I thought it was progress on getting naked. All right, I've got my shirt off.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool.
And Reddit, isn't Reddit like, I mean, if you go to the front page of Reddit, I'm not trying to make this all about Reddit, but I find it fascinating. But you can go there and it's like, oh, news, politics, technology, video games, you know, a lot of the stuff people are just generally interested right up front and in your face. But if you do /r/, and then just about any word you come up with, you're probably going to get something. And sometimes you can put a real bad word in there and get something real bad, right?
Yeah, you can. Or just go to WTF. If you really want to just totally go bonkers, go there, because that's where all the worst stuff is.
See, I just accidentally put /r/WFT by accident, typo. It's got its own subreddit for WFT.
Really? Oh, of course it is.
Well, I'm starting to wonder if Reddit is the internet, and we've all just been fooled into thinking something else was the internet.
Could be it.
Yeah, weird.
There's one here called Run Wild, and it has an NSFW tag after it, so
that seems dangerous.
I can guess what that is.
Yeah, that seems dangerous to me.
Naked Marathons, Nerdtacular, 2014.
That's right, baby. Well, I better make it 2015. I'm not to my weight goal yet. Well, good.
So, anyway, it's cool. A lot of the people on there have already figured things out. So if you're just starting out and you really are clueless, it's definitely a great place to go. So you don't have to start from scratch.
Hmm. Well, that's good. I like it. These are good resources for people, especially, I don't know, perhaps some of our listeners are of an internet generation where these are the ways they get their information and their stuff. And it's good to know that they can, you know, be better suited for better health by just using the thing they're already digging on. They're in the World of Warcraft subreddit. Pop on over to the fitness one for a minute.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool.
You'd be surprised too. Like, you could be into fitness for a long time and then realize that you've completely overlooked something.
Well, there you go. Good stuff, yep. Man. What's going on in your life outside of this? Anything we should tell people about?
Well, I was taking commissions last week, building up my new commissions, and they're closed now.
Yeah,
they're
all full, you got the whole year full, dude. Nice job.
Wow. Yep.
That's
so
great.
So if you're looking to get something made, you're too late.
Any hints at anything rad you can tell us that came from that?
There's a couple of things I can't talk about that I'm really excited about. I went to some meetings, on Friday that were really exciting.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't talk. I'll pull a Johnson on those. But there, no, I've got some Mass Effect guns. I've got, I really, really hope it happens. The revolver from Trigun, Vash's Stampede's revolver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to make that for a really long time, so that might come through.
Played a game I thought about you while I played it, because it seemed like you could have some fun with the, with some of the replicas, and that's this new game called, just left me, Loadout, it's called.
Ooh.
It's a third person first person or third person, shooter, but it feels like a first person shooter. But basically, it's in the vein of like Team Fortress 2, kind of super exaggerated, cartoony looking characters that are really well animated, super cool, and the guns are all, you can sort of custom make all the weapons in the game, like weapon craft everything.
Awesome.
It looks awesome, and everything's got that aged, crusty, cool look to it, and I just through that whole game, I'm going, oh my gosh, why is Bill not playing this, and why is he not making a gun based on what I just made?
Well, I do like crusty.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
Yeah, so anyway, even though my commissions are closed, people can still come bug me for questions about their own projects on Facebook and Twitter. And on my YouTube channel, I'm doing tons of tutorial content, so I can help more people get things if I just show them how to make it themselves. So that's what I've been doing over there.
You heard it here first. Bill is helping more people than he's hurting. Let's put it that way. I don't know what that means.
It's a close tally, but...
Chinbeard on Twitter, punishprops.com, and no more commissions for 2014, everyone. Too bad. So sad. Bill, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you again.
All righty.
See you, brother.
See ya.
All right. So far, so good with Safari taking over the heavy equalizing thing here. Hate it, Brian.
I know.
What are you going to do? All right, Justin Robert Young up on tap next. Let's get him in here, up in this business. I'm sure he has things to say. I have no idea what he has to say today, but we're going to find out shortly. But I'm going to play his thing right here.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us now as we welcome Justin Robert Young into the room. Hi.
Hi, friends. How are you?
Fine, man. Hello. How are you doing? I went to lunch with your buddy the other day.
Who?
The one Brian Brushwood.
What?
Yeah. He was out here in the beautiful greater Salt Lake City area on his way up to Snowbird for a trip with his wife for her birthday. Skiing.
I'll tell you what. Brian is among my best friends, but it did tickle me that he's like, all right, first vacation without the kids in 10 years. Where are we going? How about a place that I kind of went on vacation 6 months ago?
He was impressed. He liked it a lot. And,
he loved it. No, and then I would too. Listen, that's a smart way to go. I'm making fun, but I'm a dummy for not thinking like, hey, just go back to the place you already knew you liked.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. And it was beautiful. They ended up having amazing weather, especially on, I want to say maybe it's Saturday, maybe Sunday, but it was freaking gorgeous up there. So I'm sure they had a really good time, but it was fun to just sit down, and it's just like it was with you. I just want to remind people, you see those two on NSFW, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Yeah.
And you think you have it in your head that they're just two wild and crazy guys who are just loud and having fun and breaking stuff and doing, you know, making the whole world feel like it got tricked. You know, there's that going on. It's just like, oh, there's a book on iTunes and it's selling at number one and it's fake and those guys put it up there, or they're freaking ruin them thing, or any of these things. You just think, that's how they are 24/7. But when you sit down with Justin Robert Young or Brian Brushwood in a personal setting, they're the nicest, softest, quietest guys
that I know. We're just like little kittens. We just curl up and laugh.
Like little puppies.
You know.
And it's just this really kind of these quiet little moments that I'll remember.
Sweet little gentlemen.
Tender moments, let's call them. Tender moments.
No, I guess my thought on that is like, I guess in our minds, we don't really see that as irreconcilable.
Right.
And it's always funny to kind of see your the expectation of yourself meet the rest of the world, especially on the internet, where like, you know, you get a funhouse mirror of what somebody is like, you know, like either you only listen to them via audio. Like a lot of people, listen, there are people right now who are listening to me that only listen to me on the morning stream and think that I'm probably
Charlie,
like,
Dang. Oh,
50 years old, and I've smoked cigarettes my entire life.
And then they would look up a picture of you, and they would see that early gray hair and go, I was right. He is
the
gray
temple.
And exactly. I am all but the cigarettes away from a perfect guess. I'm great. And then they high-five themselves.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, I had a thing when people came out to help in Chattanooga that you know, just knew about it from the morning stream, that were like, they were walking around the Starbucks looking for the Justin Robert Young that they think they had heard, and they did not find him.
Right.
And then I was like, hi, are you here for the Go game? And they're like, yeah, all right, fine. I'm here to I'm just waiting for the guy that's, you know, 250 pounds right. and is 70 and has been smoking his whole life, because that's apparently what my voice sounds like.
It just sound like, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I get that. I can see that. I still get that, too, from people who only hear me and then meet me and then, you know. Yeah.
But what do you, I mean, I guess I always feel good about that transaction because I think I always look better than what they think.
Yeah.
So they're always like, oh, wow.
Oh,
like,
hey, oh.
You're young. Yeah. Look at you.
You're not all disheveled and hobo-like. I like you.
It's not unlike, I'm sure, when Bill Duran liked to introduce himself to people after he lost a lot of weight mm-hmm. or reintroduce himself to old friends, mm-hmm. to people that knew him when he was fat, because they would all come up to him and be like, oh, my God, you're great. You're so skinny. You're
the
best.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's a good thing. But do you guys think that, I mean, do you guys get a certain, lifestyle or body type based on your voice?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Tell me, Brian, how do you get the perception?
They don't expect that I'm going to be this tall, you know, bulky, bald dude when they hear me. I mean, there's enough, you know, photos of us out there that I think a majority of people can just go Google and see what we look like.
No. People who care.
Find out. Yes. But it's people who show up to Nerd Tagular, wow, you're not at all, you know, what I thought you'd look like or stuff like that. Yeah, I get that.
I always get, people are always shocked at my height. That's always the big shocker for people. I think everything else matches up. Okay.
That is a shocker.
Yeah.
You guys are both tall.
Well, I have to admit, I mean, I don't have any perception of my own height. I never have. It's always been a weird thing for me because I'll walk into a room and I won't even perceive that I'm the tallest one in that room, which is often the case. And it doesn't even occur to me. The only time it ever really did was
on one of the Therapy Thursdays you have reverse Napoleon syndrome.
Yeah,
like,
I feel short.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always have.
That's weird.
It is weird. It is weird. I mean, like I said, it's always paid to be tall. I've never gotten bullied. I think that just sort of, I wasn't thinking about it at the time, but I think that helped me not get picked on when I was growing up. I think height gives people an advantage. And in my case, I wasn't aware I had it. And when I'm in groups of people, when I'm at Nerdtacular, when I'm hanging out with friends, I don't ever feel like the tallest guy. I don't ever feel like that's even a part of the anything. Mm. In fact, if anything, I feel kind of smallish, and I don't perceive, like when my kids will bring a friend over, a boyfriend over, like my daughters will bring a kid they're dating over.
How often does that happen, by the way? Is that now like an increasingly frequent event?
Well, I mean, Carter's dating now, so that's here and there, but Taylor, you know, Taylor's got a boyfriend right now that's been over a couple of times, and she's pretty exclusive with him at the moment, but there have been, you know, boys here and there. I wouldn't say it's not like every week or anything. But
no, like, I mean, I'm not saying
like in high school,
girls are bringing different dudes right. home every week or whatever. I'm just saying like that you having those Scott Johnson meets the boyfriend, whoever that boyfriend is, and like the doctor, however many people inhabit that name.
Even if it's just a, even if it's
that
just
happens a lot.
Yeah, even if it's just a date, like a one time date, they're never going to go out again. It's homecoming at the school or something. Yeah. The come and meet me thing is not something I demand, but it's something the girls just do. In other words, for whatever reason, my daughters believe, and I don't think it's because Kim and I have pounded it into them, because I don't think we really have, but they just think it's really important that we like the boy.
Yeah.
That we're into it and that we can meet him and that he can see that we're cool and we can see that she's dating somebody cool. I think that's just built into them now. So that's just the thing that they do.
I would say people, not necessarily girls, like, but just like people who have good relationships with their parents.
Yeah.
That's almost like the litmus test that like, all right, well, I kind of like this person, but I trust my parents to kind of, cause like every once in a while, like you date somebody that turns out to really be bad. And then all of a sudden you stop dating and your parents are like, oh no, I knew that was going to suck
from
like the jump.
Oh yeah.
From square one. I knew that was going to suck. So like
we have the sense, you know, you can tell when something's going to go south or if it's not great or whatever. I can tell if the kid won't look me in the eye, if there's going to be trouble or not, you know, things like that. But they are often, I hear this story every time, they are always intimidated. I think just having your dad there is intimidating. But when he's 6'4" and you're 5'3",
yeah,
I think that's
even
worse.
And he's wearing a cape.
Yeah, he's wearing a cape.
I need you, Mr. Johnson.
And he's walking around the house with a small pitchfork. I mean, it's a scary sight. But I don't think of it that way at all. Like, I don't even see it. I don't have the perception that I am really tall and he's seeing me as this big presence in the room. I don't feel that way. I never have.
Well, and this is this has to be a question for you, because for Brian, you know, you have a teenage son, and I feel like all fathers of teenage sons are really nice to anybody that they're you know, a girl they would bring home or a guy they would bring home, just right. because they have to deal with teenage boys, and right. that's yes. really a challenge enough.
Right.
But for you, Scott, if one of your daughters brings a boyfriend home, like, what is your strategy? Are you trying to put them at ease? Are you trying to kind of be like a little bit intimidating? That like, hey, by the way, I'm the dad, and I'll protect my family. Or are you trying to embarrass your daughters by being silly? Like, what's your move?
This is a great question. I've never been asked this before.
It's because that's all I do, Scott.
Right, I know.
I ask great questions because I'm a trained journalist.
I know. You're always jumping into those gaps that others are afraid to tread. You're the Chris Anderson of...
That seems like something that would get me arrested.
It kind of does. So here's the plan. Here's how it goes. I find out he's coming over. Hey, don't forget tonight at 6, Taylor's bringing over so-and-so and so you can meet him. I said, oh, okay, cool. So now I know what's happening. I'll usually try to not look like a disheveled pig from the day or whatever I'm all wearing. Right. He'll come over.
So we're ruling things out, right? Like right. We're ticking down the guess who frames, and now you are not, you know, making sure that you're rolling in from the garage,
right?
Wiping wiping oil off your hands because you were just rebuilding the car, so you can come off like a man's man,
right?
You know, you're not coming back from lawn work where you look kind of like somebody who could murder somebody. Yeah. With gloves on.
Right.
Like,
I just try to have pants on, really. I mean, that's really it.
So you try to present yourself mm-hmm. in a well-kempt way.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not some, you know, whatever. But I don't go out of my way. I mean, just like, it's like, what am I in my gym stuff still? Okay, fine. That's fine. But I try to, you know, I want to be presentable. Kid comes over. If he's with her, they will just come in. And then I'll come walking from some other room.
Yeah.
If he's alone and she's already there to meet him and she's coming there to do the door, I will get the door.
Gotcha.
So I make a point of going to the door, opening it up, and then seeing the look on these kids' faces like, oh, shite, it's her dad.
But so now at this point, when you open the door yeah. and look at him for the first time, like, do you have the plan of how you want to act, or are you informed by whether or not he like looks you in the eye and shakes your hand and says like, well, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. Like,
well, I'm forever, chained by my inability to not notice things about people's faces, expressions, and body language. It's a part of me to be overly obsessed about how people are reacting.
Gotcha.
So I am very mindful of how he's presenting himself, what he's doing with his eyes. Is he looking at me? Did he extend his hand first? Did I do it? Most of the time it's me, but it's really just go for it. It's like, hey, you must be Jimmy or whatever his name is. Get in here. How's it going? It's nice to meet you. I'm Taylor's dad. Oh, it's nice to meet you. How's it going, everybody? You know, just kind of, he's nervous. Kim yeah. will always hug him. Whoever it is, Kim will hug him. That's just the deal.
No, that's great.
I don't know why, but that's the way.
She's actually checking for weapons.
Yeah, she's patting him down.
I like, this is like you guys are playing good cop, good cop.
Yeah, good cop, good cop. And then I will usually launch into, so how's it going? What's going on? And he'll say, oh, you know, it's something or other. I say, oh, I see you're driving an Audi. Whose is that? And oh, it's my dad's. You let me borrow it. Oh, that's a sweet car. That's pretty nice. And I try to just get to the point where it can – he can feel comfortable saying whatever, and it's a nice, comfortable environment. And even if I have weird ideas about the kid, we're not trying to make him feel uncomfortable in the house. So there's never an attempt to like put him on the spot or anything like that.
No, there's but never I can any, tell like
if the kid will look me in the eye and talk to me and have a conversation, because I can keep a conversation going. That's one of sure. my curses. So I don't care who's in the room. It can be dead quiet. Scott will make people talk in a minute because that's just the deal. I can't live outside of that. Wendy and I talk about this all the time. Both of us have this problem. We can't be in silence. We have to make a conversation. So that yeah. will happen. Not a problem. Years of podcasting had helped train me for that. It's all good. It's just whether or not he'll look me in the eye, whether he's got something to hide in his core personality or not, whether or not I can even sense that thing. But by the time, usually the way this goes is we're laughing. He's like, whoa, you play World of Warcraft? No way. And then he wants to see the studio, and now he's all freaking out that Taylor's dad's the coolest thing ever because look at all this crap hanging everywhere. And so I play up the whole.
All right. Just by the way,
yeah.
you were shooting like a perfect game right there, right? And then you actually swung the other way from the question starting at like, hey, do you intimidate the kids that come over to date your daughters, to like, now you should be worrying about, are you embarrassing your daughters by trying to become their new boyfriend's best friend within 5 minutes.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, it's just that for me, it's such a, there's such an innate desire in this house for everybody to lay it all on the table and to make very clear who everybody is, including the stranger who just walked in, who's dating your daughter, down to everyone who lives here.
Especially them.
Yeah, most especially them.
In fact, you could say that the culture was created to deal with them.
Maybe, yeah. But we lay it bare because it's in everyone's best interest, because everybody, that just, it's the established culture, I guess is the way to say it, in the Johnson house. And so if you're going to come in here and you want to be a part of it, even in a small temporary way, you should at least get the vibe and understand the jam. And they usually do, and everything's fine. So even the boys who I was a little unsure about, and everybody could tell that, they still had a good time while they were here. And they kind of knew, I think they got the sense that, oh, this is a full disclosure environment. I can't just go, thanks, Mr. Johnson, I'll have her back by 11, and then take her to a hotel. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have that option, because he can sense that this is a place where you're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes, especially tall guy I just met.
Sure.
So there, it's so a lot of unsaid
friendly,
things.
Very friendly, but also, like, don't play me, Holmes.
Yeah. It's just, we make it obvious very quick that, no, there are no secrets. We don't, there's no secrets here, and nobody's a dummy. Nobody's hiding anything. We're all good.
And, so also, it's like, it's not like you're going to get Carter or Taylor to be like, oh, yeah, no, just don't tell your dad. Tell him that there's an oil slick and the roads are closed.
No, it doesn't fly. Because I just know I
probably need a better excuse than there's an oil slick.
Yeah. Whenever they try, whenever my kids. I didn't know
that they would close roads for that even. That seems like something that would be unlikely.
Brian and I have talked about this before, but whenever our kids do something where you kind of see them trying to test whether or not dad's too old of a generation to get what you just did, or we are not. You can't do that to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are plenty of people who can, but you and I are in a different place right now. You know, you had Facebook before Tristan ever thought about it.
Yes.
I had Twitter before my kids thought it was cool. We were all watching YouTube and it was nothing but cat videos. Like, you can't take, in this current culture of what kids are into, you can't take me and her mom out of the equation, because we're all in, we're in it together. To you can't pull it over our eyes.
To some degree. I mean, you know, the Snapchat thing came in after,
came in like a wrecking ball.
it did.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the Snapchat thing, he gets a lot more than I do. I mean, I know what it does and I know what you can use it for, but
you just know what a waste of time
it's
it
so
is.
Not that though. I mean, I've actually played around a lot with Snapchat, to the point where, you know, my phone number is now out there with every filthy hacker's fingerprints on it, because it was one of the ones that got hacked. But
I didn't know you got hacked.
My number was part of that database that got published, because somebody hacked Snapchat and then asked Snapchat to patch it, and then Snapchat didn't. So they're like, well, this is what we do. We publish all of the stuff that we hacked off your site, because, you know, that's, you know, to show you what's what. And so my number was part of it. Now I get like more spam, and I probably should change my number, but I just had it for so long, and it just seems like part of me would be dying. You know, if we are indeed moving into a singularity universe where we can back up our entire personalities and essences and replace them in bodies, the forefather of that is changing your phone number. You know, yes, it is easily changeable, but it is still traumatic. It is traumatic on a personal level.
Sure.
So anyway, but no, Snapchat, I mean, I don't know. I would find it way more for just kind of silly personal communication than any kind of like sexy personal communication.
Here's my wiener. Here's what I think is about Snapchat that is a bit of a misnomer. I think maybe dumb kids who don't know any better think this is their quickest way to share wiener pictures. But
yeah,
most of them, I think, know that you can hear all day how things get deleted off the server. But do we really believe any of that? I don't. I don't believe it at all. When Snapchat says, hey, all your
kids don't care. The kids don't care about the server.
No, they don't. Some of them
don't even think about the server. Yeah, is really
the
what
kids
it is.
Care about Johnny Mathis in third grade sociology, who is or third grade
Johnny Mathis.
Holy crap, is it early?
Sits right next to Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're worried about Satchmo, who is in first grade, popular dynamics. They're worried about kids at school spreading around a picture of them naked, them doing something, smoking weed or something like that. Like that's what they're worried about. Like they're not worried about what the company is going to do with that information. They're worried about what people they know are going to do with it.
Right. No, that's a good point. But it's interesting. I was actually just looking at it, and I sent you a photo, so enjoy that. But my point is that they're not blindsiding Brian. It's not like he's coming home going, Dad, there's this thing called Snapchat, and you're going, I don't know what you're talking about, son.
You might do whatever you want on there. That sounds good
to me. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Snaps and the chats and the...
Right. And because of that, it gives us an inherent advantage, I think, in both raising the kids and dealing with issues like what's this boy's intentions, because we get it. My parents didn't get it most of the time. They just didn't get it. Now, you might say, well, maybe your kids think you just don't get it. I don't know. I get the impression that's not the case, because when I talk to my kids, it's a very different conversation than I used to have with my parents. They just scratch their heads a lot and go, well, I don't know what that is, but you need to be back here by 9 or whatever. And you'd say, all right, well, good thing you don't know what that is, because I'm going to go do that thing. You don't know what it is. And, it was a different thing. And I know I have friends who still sort of are dealing with that sort of thing. And that's how they parent, because that's all they know how to do. And their kids are running rings around them. So I'm just saying, what am I saying? The point of all of this is know what your kids are into. And when the kid comes over, look him in the eye. And if he looks you in the eye, you've got a pretty good chance that he's going to be all right. That's all I'm saying.
And finally, I've turned my segment into something it has always wanted to be, the Parenting Advice Hour.
That's right. Tuesday Parenting.
This is what you originally...
Tuesday Parenting with Justin Robert Young.
Brilliant, finally.
Here's my one advice, all right? Yeah. So here you go. One of these times, maybe you can mix it up. Okay. Guy comes over to take Carter Taylor, out on a date or meeting the parents. Like, you have the whole thing the way it was before, right? Yeah. You're shaking their hand. Giving good eye contact, reading how they react. And then you sit down and you go into, well, my name is Scott Johnson and I'm here to say I got rules for my daughter and they're here to stay. And you go through a whole rap and you just see how that plays.
Okay. I'm down with that. We printed the Johnson family rules and framed it, and it's now in the living room where you walk in. And you'll see these next time you're in town. Yeah. It's a big poster and it says everything from, do your get readies, which was our speak when they were little about brush your teeth and, be prepared, basically.
Get readies. Okay.
Don't be a troll. Ignore the trolls. some very internet-y kind of things like that. And then there's this whole list of stuff we just taught our kids since they were kids all the way till now. And the very bottom two are no making out or touching butts, which is specifically a thing I'd say to my daughter when she was dating at 16 as they walk out the door. He'd come pick her up. Everybody would talk and hang out. And as they leave, I go, okay, you guys have fun. Remember, no making out or touching butts. And what that would do, because it wasn't an explicit argument. Yes. What does touching butts even mean?
Yeah.
But it made everyone uncomfortable and
embarrassed. Oh, that's a great Reddit. That's a great subreddit.
Right. Isn't it, though?
R/touching butts.
Exactly. So because of that, it's just stuck, and boys would like, if boys are feeling a little frisky, I know that at least in their head, there is this droplet of information of this man at the door said no making out or touching butts, and it's just too embarrassing for them to deal with. So anyway, that was the longstanding joke while my oldest was in her, early dating years, so that became a permanent rule. So now when a boy comes over, he sees it right up on the wall. It says no making out or touching butts, and he has to just scratch his head.
Yeah. And then you can have Kim come in and be your hype man and like back up every third word and everything.
Yeah. It's like Nick with a movie. If somebody's making out in it, I always made a fart noise. So when he was little, like 5, 6 years old and some,
So I like this. This is like this is your it's as if the Three Stooges were Big Brother in 1984.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like you are just trying through all these silly ways to enforce. You're trying to insidiously impose a certain way of living on your children,
right?
By way of like whoopee cushion sounds and like odd folksy colloquialism.
Exactly. And in Nick's case, like if something came on, I'm trying to think of a good example, and I can't. But let's say a scene in Battlestar Galactica with Caprica 6 making out with Zippy Boy there. And that would start happening. So I'd be in the other side of the room and I'd just go like just horrible fart noises, and it would make everybody laugh. And it happened any time that ever came up, especially when they were little. So now they can't see like a romantic make-out-y scene in a movie without hearing me farting in the background.
I mean, I'll tell you what, unintended consequences. I don't even want to know what happens as they get older and have families of their own.
Right, exactly. This is going to trickle down to something real bad for everybody. So
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just how we roll. It's how we do it.
It sounds like a sound plan. And I'm glad that you're not intimidating parent thing, because I always thought that said more about the parent than it did about the kid.
You know,
when you have to puff up your chest and be like super tough guy to a 16-year-old who's like terrified to meet you, then really what are you saying about your own self-esteem?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way. I mean, that I can't do because I'm just not good. I can't even hold a. I barely made Brian follow through on his bet today. Like, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at like, oh, okay, let me use my position of whatever power it is to screw things up. I mean, I can ruffle some feathers at Twitch when they pull my station off.
Oh,
the
thing. What happened? They yanked you because
yanked it because it wasn't a game thing. But the way, here's how it really worked out. Because in the end, there were like five or six other mods. They're like, no, put him back up. He does that WoW show and some other stuff. And so the guy screwed up. He didn't know any better, and it's fine. And we all worked it out. And he apologized, and I talked to him off air, and it was all fine. But in the ensuing moments, he was being really like, they need to learn something from the bad customer service there. But he was really belligerent and just like, you have 3 minutes, and I'm cutting this thing off. And he didn't know I was doing other stuff. So anyway, bottom line, end of story was they did not mean to do that. They seemed to only feel that way once it blew up on Twitter, but. Whatever. I'll benefit of the doubt. It's fine. Well, let's say Twitter had nothing to do with it.
So wait, you're allowed to talk about video games or play video games, but it has to be video game related, or you have to be playing video games?
They have a loose rule, and I say loose because many other people are doing things far from video games on Twitch. So I don't know why they're picking and choosing. But what they want you to be doing is something about video games. Talking about video games, showing video games, streaming games, playing them. Talking about them while they're being played, that sort of thing. So me doing the instance or the final score on here, totally, fully legit according to these loose rules. Me doing the morning stream, and if that's all I was doing, that's where they had a problem, or where this one dude had a problem. And he may not be at Twitch anymore. I don't know how it worked out for him.
Well, and that just kind of seems like somebody who wants a scalp, right? Like that they know that there's this, that they want to enforce that Twitch is for video games. And so you have people who are like, well, I'm going to make my name amongst the mods, being the person who finds these people.
And they're encouraged to do that, especially right now, because they're being stretched to their limit. They brought on PS3 stuff and Xbox One's coming, and they're doing way more on PC end. And they are a bona fide gigantic force in live streaming and in the video game world in general. So I'm sure that there's an effort there, and I don't blame them to try to hone it in. And you know, why have some guy talking about,
but how about poodle? Do your homework. How about flag them one day, there wait 24 go. Hours, and then you know, ask around the other mods to see if anybody else has anything to say, or forever hold your peace, and then can the
that chance. Was exactly my point. And that would have been, I'm so easy going, dude. You could have contacted me by email and said, we think you are Satan himself, and we're going to cover you in marshmallows and fart on your face.
We think you have made out and touched butts.
Yes. And I would have said,
therefore banning your channel.
And I would have said, oh, well, shoot. Okay. Well, thanks for giving me the time to figure out an alternative, and I'll do what I can. I apologize. I mean, I would have been easygoing Joe. Mm-hmm. I always am with these things. But we got blindsided by that. So the whole thing was just a little weird. But in the end, it's fine. That kid took a lot of heat on Twitter. I feel a little bad about that. So. You know, I sort of apologize
for
that.
You did. I'll tell you what. It is rare in my lifetime that I have seen Scott Johnson break out the personal Twitter handle, knowing that the pitchforks are going to come after him.
Yep. It's not a thing I like to do. It's not. I don't even feel good about having done it, except to say I felt like this was a case where there was truly some skullduggery.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not
needed to be
something
needed
to had
be handled.
To be
oh, no. Listen, sometimes you got to do it. I feel bad doing it. I mean, I very rarely, I have not been in a place where and I'm sure somebody will remind me of a time that I did it gleefully, but like, but I can't remember a time where I came after somebody. And I even feel bad when celebrities, and not to say that I am a celebrity, but I feel bad when celebrities like do it with brands, when it's like, hey, this thing didn't go my way at brand.
Uh-huh.
Like, and the only time I ever did that was with US Air. I was so furious.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
They had not, like, they were holding effectively like hundreds of dollars of my money. And because they screwed up and they had not gotten back to me. And so I had to kind of light into them like that. But yeah. At least I tried to make that funny for everybody.
Yeah. See, I had
to do it with Alamo last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So you do, I mean, sometimes you just, I feel like it's this enabling, this technology is enabling in a way, but also, you know, it's the whole Peter Parker thing. Great power comes great responsibility. And imagine.
Exactly. Once you get your follower count up to, you know, past 10K, all of a sudden, people start listening to you a lot more.
Yeah, like the FedEx the other day, I put it wasn't even like a calling them out, but I didn't even call out their Twitter handle. I said, hey, FedEx, kind of sarcastically, next time knock louder. I couldn't hear you. And it was just kind of a throwaway comment about, well, I missed my package. I wasn't even thinking about it as, hey, they'll read this and I'll get some dirt done here. But they did. And man, were they all over it, dude. Phone calls and emails, and we are going to get that driver back over there. We require them to be to do as much as they can to get people to come to the door with as much as much as possible and all this stuff. We're going to get them over there and do this thing, and they were on it. So,
dude, Twitter was made for customer service.
Yeah,
like for whatever all the crap that we can give it. Like, there are people from the worst customer service companies by and large who are paid to do the best that company allows for customer service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a lot of leeway. They will. I mean, I remember Comcast. I used to have at Comcast Will. It's just a random Twitter op for Comcast. And it's like, if I had a problem, that dude would go over the head of anybody that I could call locally.
Yeah.
Like, he was awesome.
It's interesting, right? Like, it's the purest elemental form of customer service in a way, because you've got a less than 140 character guy going, bah! And then you have a response immediately to that one guy's, bah! And it's just like this, it's weird how in the ether you can just pinpoint the thing you're trying to get to. That's harder to do even in a busy store or, you know, where you're having trouble at a Best Buy or something. It's interesting. You know, there's Twitter for you. Twitter, everybody.
Twitter, baby.
Twitter, everybody.
Twitter, it's here. It's here to stay. Justin, anything else going on?
All right. So
we just make topics up as they fall out of our faces. I love it. It's my favorite thing.
No, I don't know if there's anything else. So I have the YouTube thing going. New video every Monday. This week's R.L. Stine, famed Goosebumps author, visits the channel to discuss how he wrote The Haunted Mask, one of the classic Goosebumps tales. Spoiler alert, it involves drugs and sex with Amy Tan, writer of the Joy Luck Club.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And there was both making out and touching butts there. I will have you know.
Confirmed. All right.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
Whoa, confirmed. Yeah. Big time.
Good.
And then other than that, we soft launched a fun little project last night that we've been working on for a little bit, and it's called DiamondClub.tv.
Oh, this is that thing I've been hearing about.
So effectively this is what DiamondClub.tv is going to be. Whenever, you know, there's kind of a loose confederation of us, including me and Brian and Tom Merritt and Andrew Main and Veronica Belmont, that all like each other and are friends, and we're all friends with you guys and a lot of the people that you see show up to Nerdtacular.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of stuff on all these like independent platforms. But we kind of just wanted a one-stop shop for people to be able to watch us on live stream. So DiamondClub.tv is just going to be where we say, whenever we go live, that's just going to be the place we're going to be. And that way we can plug in, you know, if Justin TV is doing great until it's not, and we're switching to Daily Motion, now we can, you know, you can just know that DiamondClub.tv is still the place where you go, because we'll just embed the Daily Motion thing in the same chat. Is going to be there. It's going to be where you're going to be able to watch NSFW show and Cord Killers and Weird Things and the Daily Tech News show, which I'm on today, by the way.
Right.
If anybody wants to hear me talk about news, you can do that. But it's just going to be, you know, it's kind of us giving back to the Diamond Club community that has been so insanely supportive, especially throughout, you know, the Patreons for Chord Killers and Daily Tech News Show. And that's it's diamondclub.tv. And also, like, what we were doing last night is we can also just on the admin side just play YouTube videos that everybody watches at the same time. So it's actually pretty rad. It updates live. I can like put different stuff on there. Like right now, I think I am playing the Star Wars, the Phantom Menace, Red Letter Media review. And it'll just jump. I already ended, but it'll jump to where everybody else is watching it when I load the page.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
And then it'll update live whenever, if it's just on that thing right there, and then we go live on Daily Motion or when we go live for Daily Tech News Show, it'll just repopulate, boom, right there. And, you'll be able to watch it. It's really exciting. Dan Dirks, who, is the amazing coder behind strawpoll.me, did all this for us. It's very exciting, and hopefully there's more, you know, more exciting stuff to come about that site, including features and much, much more sooner than you might think.
Ooh, all right. Ears to the floor, everyone. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Ears to the grindstone. How's the phrase go? Put your ear to the...
Put your nose to the grindstone.
Put your ear in your ear.
I knew I had it
That's
wrong.
That's the phrase. That's the one.
All right. Well, I would recommend following Justin R. Young on Twitter to find out what the hell's going on with all that. All right? All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what. Yeah. I think, you know, there's probably more, you know, I know for... I was actually going to put on the morning stream, but I guess we don't... Yet we have Justin.tv integration. We don't have Twitch integration right now. So we can post any embed from Justin TV, and Twitch will probably be fairly easy.
I just need the same company. So, yeah.
But we, you know, surely I'm sure that, you know, this, the morning stream will be a favorite on there that the mods will put up. So yeah.
Plus, no one's doing anything at 8 o'clock in the morning on a weekday.
Right.
So totally,
NSFW folks are barely even getting up that early.
Right. So why not? The air will be clear. Just put us on.
But you know, I'll tell you, the idea though is that we want we want a place that, you know, that everybody can just go to 24/7. You know, we want an IRC people can go to 24/7, and you know, to do that. You know, we want to kind of have the entertainment that everybody can watch, and we want, you know, mods that are always going to be able to be there to put on, you know, either old episodes of stuff or other random YouTube videos. And hopefully we'll make a playlist where we can just jam that with a bunch of awesome YouTube nuggets. And the best thing is, because we're embedding from YouTube,
yeah,
we can play whatever we want.
Yep, anything you want.
If it's on YouTube, it's legit.
Yep, that's right. Even the non-legit stuff that's on YouTube, you can play that too. If you guys end up doing the Twitch thing, and I've talked to Dan a bunch of times, maybe we would be fine with that. Do a simulcast. That's great. Totally would do.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. You know, and it's one of those things that I think we can also, you know, going forward, I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of cross. I think you're pretty much the only person outside of our core group that we talked to about this as we were building it, because, you know, naturally, if you say, you know, Justin and Brian and Tom and Veronica, like if you were just to say, or Andrew and go, what's next? Like they would say you and Frog Pants.
Yeah. Most
and all that.
There's a lot of interspecies relations going on there for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's like, you know, for us, it was a big thing because, you know, I wanted to make sure that you knew what we were doing. We were kind of developing it with your opinions in mind, because like, this is all about kind of fostering awesome community and creating just awesome places where people of like minds can create content in a live stream kind of, you know, have the live stream destination for that in the same way that you have done such an amazing job with the podcast stuff. And it's you know, something that we're really excited about, and we want everybody with Frog Pants to be completely involved in and excited about. So we will hopefully there will be more. I mean, certainly, you know, there's a lot of us on Frog Pants content, and that can be a part of diamondclub.tv.
I'm down with that, man. Well, awesome. Always a pleasure hanging out and talking on a Tuesday. May your day be filled with flatulent, hemorrhoidal old men with beards. I know.
Wow.
Can't think of anything else to say there.
It's amazing the stuff you, that's on the fly, folks.
Yeah, that was no planning. That just came out. Okay. I'm going to now say we do some quick emails, Brian.
All right.
Because this is a long episode today.
It's a long episode.
So quick emails brought to you by.
Yes. Are you a fan of movie news? Do you want to keep on track with the latest movie happenings from around the globe? Then listen to Off Tracks Podcast. Yes, I'm bringing this one back. Yeah. Off Tracks Podcast is now available on iTunes. Simply search for Off Tracks Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Off Track 3. Like us on Facebook. Search for Off Tracks Podcast and come visit our webpage at offtrackspodcast.com.
Nice. I'm going to miss that. Today's the eighth and final day.
It
of
is,
that spot.
Yes.
Real quick here, Scott says, two equally qualified, trustworthy individuals. Question is not who do you trust more, but who's got the bigger boobs? Just joking. Jocking is what he says.
Jocking.
You did well on the show. Continue to be good work. Continue the good work. Best regards. Yibiskaref. I think he's still referring... There's a lot of controversy about that.
The misandry and the misogyny, yes.
Let me tell you guys something. This is how it all boils down. I trust women more than men, and it's my own problem. I'm not even applying that to Brian or anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's just straight up how I feel, and I'm being honest with you, and that's all it is. You don't have to give me a bunch of labels. We don't have to all go and figure out what it all means, what the greater meaning of it is, or what's wrong with society. I just have a bias. I've never really been mistreated by women, and I've been mistreated many times by dudes. That's all. That's it. My life's experience. So you can act like I'm destroying the world one comment at a time, but I'm not. It's just this thing, okay? It's not that big a deal. Next up, Robert.
Scott ruins the world.
Scott yeah. ruins the world. That's my new t-shirt. Regarding fart gas. So yeah. here's your big revelation. Hey, Scott, what about focus? The word focus, not to infer that you drive poorly, but maybe he was yelling at you to focus on your driving.
Right. And quit looking over at me and what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Focus.
Focus. Don't look at me. Focus. Or maybe he saw I was driving a Ford and said, you shouldn't have gotten the focus. But it's a
did
fair.
You have your, yeah. Did you have your iPhone up? Were you playing a little Flappy Bird while you were driving?
Nothing. Not a thing. I am a very conscientious, both hands on the wheel, non-texting driver. So I don't. Yeah. They were more distracted than I was.
But obviously,
if your theory holds true, I could see how I would get fart gas and focus mixed up. I'm going to go to my local Ford dealership though and find out what the 2014 prices are on the new fart gas.
The new Ford fart gas.
That sounds really good. All right, that's it. We have a new show tomorrow, and all the normal people will be here. Please be here for that. You know all the stuff I normally say. Just go to frogpants.com/TMS to find it. Brian Ibbett, let's get the hell out of here. Do you have a song all for us to play?
I have a song for you. This one comes from Geek Girl, a.k.a. Jessica. Kind of a sad dedication here. I was going to ping her in the tadpole, but I don't think she's in here today. She says, hi, Scott and Brian. This is to remember a baby that I lost early in the pregnancy that would have been 2 years old this month. Peter Holland's cover of Into the West from Lord of the Rings that he just released. Thank you. Love you guys. Geek Girl, a.k.a. Jessica Hips.
Aww. Thanks, Jessica.
Yeah.
We like her, too.
And we do. That's a sad thing to commemorate. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear about it.
Yeah.
This is brand new from Peter Hollins. Just came out. It is a cover of the song from Lord of the Rings. I think the first one, right, from the Fellowship of the Ring, the Annie Lennox tune.
I thought that was the Return of the King. I could be wrong.
Oh, was it? Okay, the last one.
I could think the Ennio song was that first one.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I did have it flipped. Yes, it was the third one, yep. Return of the King. This is Peter Hollins and his cover of Into the West.
I am into that. I like that song a lot. I like that movie a lot, and I like this song a lot. I already said that twice. Brian, thanks for a great show and a long show.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
We'll see you guys tomorrow for a brand new episode. And until then, here's Peter with Into the West.
Lay down your sweet and weary head. Night is falling. You've come to journey's end. Sleep now. Dream of the ones who came before. They are calling from across.
across a distant shore. Why do you weep? What are these tears upon your face? Soon you will see all of your tears will pass away, safe in my arms.
Audio program so good, it's like you're there!